Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We've got several scriptures to look at this morning. Acts 17. In verse 6. I want to talk about, there's a phrase I thought about as I read a couple of scriptures this week, and harmless but effective. Harmless but effective. You know, when a woman's in an argument with her husband, you know what the Bible says? Beat him. Beat him with a frying pan, right? Not at all. What does the Bible say? Bible says, win him with a conversation of a meek and quiet spirit. She's supposed to be harmless. No poison allowed. Amen? Harmless, but effective. We forget that God does things opposite. We always think that we have to use force. We have to use bombs. We have to use guns. But God's got an opposite way. He says, as Christians, we need to be effective, but we must be harmless. And I want to talk about that this morning. Acts 17 and verse 6. In order to convey that, I thought of a harmless embryo. The prodigal son has returned. Acts 17, we have missed him. Acts 17, 6, his car's been in the shop. That's a problem. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, speaking of Christians, that these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. These that have turned the world upside down are here now. Now, I got some questions for you. How could a group of uneducated, unorganized, poor Jewish people turn their world upside down in the first century? They had no internet. They had no television advertising, no media, no news coverage. They had no money at all. How could the same group grow and multiply to the point that by the end of the first century, they calculated that half of the Roman Empire was known as Christian? How could they do that? Is it possible that Christianity could do such a thing again? That we could turn this world upside down for God? Could it actually happen again in the 21st century? Well, I'm here to tell you, not only can it, but it must. But it won't happen like we think. It will not happen. Change does not happen the way we think. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians now. Go to the right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 3. Are we in a war? Is there a fight? The Bible calls it the good fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh... I'll ask this again, I love this question. How many are in the flesh this morning? Amen. How many of you walk in the flesh? I walk in the flesh, amen. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't fight with the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not physical, but they are effective. Look what it says. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are most of our problems? Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations. That's where the most battles are. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It doesn't happen through wars. We're supposed to use spiritual weapons. It doesn't happen through rebellious riots, but through personal repentance and the humbling of ourselves back to the level that we belong in. And that's under the mighty hand of God. That's where power is. The entire Middle East is in turmoil. We watched it begin about 4 or 5 months ago. There in, which country did it begin in where that one man set himself afire? It was one of the small countries. It was Tunisia. That's right. Then after that, it spread like wildfire. Now in Syria, it is countless. Hundreds of people are slaughtered almost every week. People are seeking a change. They want to overturn dictatorships. They want to get rid of tyrannies. But they're using riots. They're using revolts. History is full of such things. Full of the wars. Some of them religious, some of them secular. Yet biblical Christianity stands as the one harmless way that effectively changes our world. Our world, you have to admit, needs help, amen? It doesn't need more money. As a matter of fact, there is no more money. I hope people are finally realizing there's no more money. They keep saying, we'll borrow, there's nothing there. Our world does not need more money. We do not need more entitlements. We don't need more political programs. We don't need more wars or weapons. Our world needs what's sitting in this room. It needs Christians. And I mean Bible-believing Christians. Go to Philippians chapter 2. To the right some more. Philippians chapter 2. The world is sick of frauds. Sick of fakers. Sick of actors. They need to see the real McCoy. Philippians 2:15 says this. Start in verse 14, because this is a good verse. Do all things without? How many murmured and complained this morning? One. One woman was honest. Two. Two of you. The rest of you are all liars. Three. Amen. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless, and circle that word, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Nobody should be able to point a finger at you in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Isn't that an amazing verse? Our world needs to see some real Christians. It may sound corny, but it's the truth. There is a power that biblical Christianity brings to the world. It is the power of a resurrected life. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was dead spiritually, but now I'm very much alive. You hath he quickened. My life was like a snail. I raced, and I was racing on a dead-end track, man. Ever since I got saved, my life has sped up. I mean, I don't even want to look back to find out how far I've gone. The power of a resurrected life. Biblical Christianity brings the power of the Son of God. We don't bring the power of the church. We don't bring the power of the Crusades. We bring the power of Jesus Christ into the world. We bring the power of answered prayer. You know, people, even unsaved people, will come to you and say, would you pray for my dad or my mom? They're going to the hospital. They know, especially they ought to know, that you know God and that you get some prayers answered. We ought to be burdened to get more prayers answered. Because when you bring the power of answered prayer to the workplace, to the neighborhood, to your family, it changes the family. Amen. The Bible says this world needs Christians. Christians bring the power of knowing how everything's going to turn out. Christians don't freak out. The Bible says when you see all the things that are happening today happen, what are we supposed to do? Look up. For our redemption draw nigh. We know how it all turns out, amen? I read the last chapter. Amen. People are sitting there saying, aren't you worried? I'm excited. Amen. There is nothing in the Christian's life that causes us to fear but one, God. Everything else, it's okay. We bring the power of knowing how everything's going to turn out, and we bring the power of light in darkness. There's something about, if we could lock all these windows, turn off the lights, you wouldn't want to move. You'd be tripping over everything and everyone. Then somebody turns on a light, and everybody just gravitates to that light. It has power, doesn't it? And when a Christian is light in this crooked and dark and perverse world, it brings power to it. To effectively change our world, we need to get it in our head that we must live as Jesus Christ told us how to live. The Bible way. We're to live as light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Did you know Jesus was harmless? When was the last time he got into a fight and punched somebody? When did you ever see him zap somebody and kill him on the spot? When did you ever see that? He was the most harmless person on this planet, amen? There wasn't anybody that he didn't affect for good, amen? That didn't mean he just went around and hugged everybody. You know, the only thing that Jesus hurt was people's pride. Amen? And sometimes that needs a good hurting. But Jesus was harmless. Bible calls him in Hebrews chapter 7, calls him a high priest harmless. Did you know the Holy Spirit was harmless? He's the most effective power today, according to John 16. And his work is to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. He's harmless. He's a still small voice. He's not like mom. He's not like dad when he's angry. The Holy Spirit comes in and he's effective. And yet he's harmless. Some simple-minded, stammering, stuttering, harmless-looking Christian is more powerful than an atomic bomb on their knees, doing the will of God. We've got to get this, that what this world needs is Christians. Because Christians are the light. Now, not that we have any light. We're reflectors of the light, amen? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But you know, your light, you know where you're going. At least you should know. I can always tell a Christian. I'll ask him, do you know when you're going where you die? When you die. Where are you going when you die? Well, I'm hoping for the best. They're not saved. Nope. You get the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're only going up. Amen. You see, I know where I'm going. I'm no better than anybody, but Jesus Christ has saved this sinner. Amen. We're light in this world not only because we know where we're going, but we know how to get there. Amen? We know how to get there, man. But Christians must choose to walk as light. We got to stop being like the world that we live in. We need on a Sunday, we need to look different. We need on a Monday, we need to look different. We need to talk different. On a Tuesday, we need to think different. We need to respond different. We're supposed to be light. The world is sick and tired of watching us go to church and come out the same way. Amen. Christians will go and they'll have an entertainment bonanza. And they'll come out and they'll kill each other at home. And they'll lie and cheat and they'll take advantage and they'll take and they'll steal and they'll hate. And the world goes, what is it? What is it? We've got to start to be different. Stop taking on the characteristics of the world around us. Yeah. I dare say in this room, most of us carry the attitudes of the people around us instead of him who is in us. Amen. You hang around. We watched it at camp. The rebels hung with rebels. I see it at church. I see all of a sudden somebody who just doesn't want to be here. They're in the back of church. They're always sitting in the back of the church. They're in the back of the church, and there'll be two or three others, and they'll go sit right next to them. You're taking on the attitude of those around you. You need to take on the attitude of he who is in you. Christians have taken on the morals of the world around us. Oh, that guy that wants to be president, thank God he's gone and he's left and he hopefully never returns. Norris. People say, well, you know, I'm thinking about it. I mean, we live in a free society. We should be tolerant. Bite your tongue. That's not tolerance. That's the judgment of God. We've got to quit taking our morals from the television and from the people around us who want us to be enlightened. I am enlightened. I read the book. Bible says what does Psalm say? We see light in his word. This is the light. Wherewithal, I'm thinking my brain is not, I just thought of some of these verses, but the verse talking about our, it's a light unto our path and a lamp unto our way. How does it start? Thy word is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my way. Whatever it is, amen. I'm having one of those mornings. Don't start me, all right? Christians are supposed to walk as light. We have different attitudes. We have different morals. We go in a different direction than the world. I don't care if everybody else is going one direction. I'm going wherever Jesus goes, wherever he leads. I mean, Nina and I sitting there. We went to the Aran Islands there on Thursday, Friday, And she just looked around there, and I looked around, and she said, I got a burden for these people. And we started talking, nobody's allowed to move over there. You gotta marry into those people if you're gonna get land or property or whatever. And I says, God will get you in. If we're supposed to be there, we'll be there. You see, we gotta have that kind of burden where you go where God says go. Amen. Somebody in this room needs to say, God, I'll go where you want me to go, even if it's to Afghanistan. Amen. Don't take the direction. Everybody else is going certain directions. Compromising, toning down their message. There are churches that will never mention the word hell. They'll mention prosperity. They'll mention love, joy, peace. But they will not go on and continue on and preach the whole gospel. What good is a lighthouse if it's too dim to see? One of the funny things, we were there. There's a lighthouse on the Aran Islands. It's at the 300 meter mark, man. It's the tallest building on the island. But you know what? They built it in the wrong place. Nobody can see it. Engineering. So they had to build a couple extra ones down on the ground. I mean, it was just, what good is a lighthouse that nobody can see? What good is a light in a room, especially these stupid CFC lights that we're having to buy now, if they're not bright and clear? Amen. And what good is a Christian if he or she is not living brightly and clearly as possible? To effectively change our world, we need to live as Christ called us to live, as a light. And I want to learn how to do that this month. Father, please bless this message. Stir your people. Don't let us be comfortable. Help us as we look at this month of our place. We're not taking over anything. We're just starting to act. We want, as we live by this book, as we trust the words on the pages of this book, change takes place. It happened when I believed it. 31 years ago, a change took place because I just acted on what this book said. And if we become doers of the word outwardly, like a light, it will change our world. It will. Once again, Lord, give us that burden to be harmless but effective Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, our world's in a mess. Go to 1 John 5. Go to the right and find 1 John, almost to the end. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. We know that we are of God. You better be owned by God. And the whole world lieth in what? All right. I don't even have to tell you that. There are some serious problems in our world. I can't even begin to describe how messed up our world is. I will next week, though. I'll show you that all wars are not religious wars. That the problems are not religious problems. They're problems of the heart, and that matches everybody on this planet. There are some serious problems. Most people in the Western world live in a bubble. They think the world is not so bad. They'll read the newspaper, and they go, oh, that's on the north side. Oh, that's up in Dublin. Oh, that's in Ballymun. It's just not here. We live in our little bubble. We'll think, well, it's always been this way. But believe me, it's not true. It's getting worse and worse. You better wake up that our world is in sad shape and it is not getting better. We do not have economic problems. I do not believe that there is an economic problem for 1 minute. I don't even believe that we have a political problem. I really don't believe that. If I did, I'd be a politician. If I believed the problem was economics, I would be out there trying to get people jobs. Do you know what the problem is? It's a heart problem. The only answer for this nation, the only answer for Europe, is a change of heart. Don't buy this thing where we say, well, we got to go through this, we've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to save the world through money. It's not going to save anybody. Our world keeps trying to lie its way out of the problems it's facing. It just goes deeper and deeper into trouble. Where did it all begin? Where did all these problems begin? Did it begin with the atom bomb? 1945? Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Is that where the problems began? No, it began a whole lot further back before that. Take your Bible, turn to Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah is just before Matthew. Hit Matthew in your New Testament, then go back to the left a few pages into the Old Testament. You'll keep going left from Malachi. You'll hit Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 11. Our world got into trouble when it rejected God's laws. Zechariah, Z-E-C-H-A-R-I-A-H. Zechariah, chapter 7, verse 11. But they refused to hearken. Watch the description. Here, this is so descriptive. And pulled away the shoulder. They stopped their ears that they should not hear. Looks like a little baby, doesn't it? I don't want, I'm not listening. No. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. You ever heard anybody say, well, he's adamant? That's a Bible word. It's the hardest stone next to a diamond. They made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear what? The law. And the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came great wrath from the Lord of hosts. What did they do wrong? Did they murder? No. The reason why our world is in the trouble it is in is not to be blamed on the pornography, is not to be blamed on the music industry, is not to be blamed on the movie industry, it's to be blamed on hard hearts. That when somebody said, let me tell you something, let me help you, they turned their back away, they said, don't bother me, I don't want to listen. Rejected God's laws. Go to Hebrews chapter 3 now, to the right. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10. Rejected God's ways. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10. Start there in verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. Chapter 3 verse 7. Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as it is, as in the provocation in the past. In the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. They don't want to know. It's like a child asking mommy, mommy, can I make a cake? Mommy, can I make a cake? And mommy's saying, sure, here, let me show you how. No, I can do fine without you. I can do it. And you get a mess as big as a nightmare. Amen. They won't learn a way, a simple way of doing something. Guess who knows the way? Jesus. We reject God's way. Third, Isaiah 53. Back to the left now, back and forth, having some fun this morning. Isaiah chapter 53. And the final way that brings the nail on the coffin is the problems of this world all began when they reject God's Son. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. Well, notice we talk about present tense words last week. Notice the present tense. Notice how it's talking now. He is despised and rejected of men. Isaiah 53, 3. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We didn't want to even know he was there. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. What is it talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the world did? They rejected him. And I rejected him too. I didn't think that I needed him. I didn't think I needed Christianity. I didn't need the Bible. So I not only rejected God's laws. You know, they are laws, by the way. They're not suggestions. They're not opinions. They are laws. We reject God's ways. He knows how to keep a marriage together. Amen. He knows how to raise kids. We were talking to the guys there on the Aran Islands. And we looked. There are rocks and rocks and rocks and rocks. And we found out what teenagers should be doing for a living while they're growing up. Building walls. Piling those rocks and just building another wall. That's one way to keep them busy. There's a way to raise kids. God knows the way to keep sane. God knows the way to stay healthy. God knows the ways, and we reject it. The worst thing of all is people reject his Son. That's where the problem began. Just look at our headlines. every day, the violence that we are now used to only be heard in the world, in the third world. The violence that's in our streets. Caroline had a murder there the other day. We've had people murdered back here in this park here a few years ago. People who lived here, walking, and they were dead. Found dead. Murdered. Things that we thought never would happen in our little bubble have come home. We read the headlines. The corruption that used to only be in the third world where you can't even trust anybody. You can't trust government officials. You can't trust Garda. The abortions, never heard of. And yet, it was us first world nations that developed the modern abortion procedures, all for profit. That's our world we live in. The headlines. They don't even want to talk about it now. I'll talk about it next week. 22 million murdered in the United Kingdom. And I don't want to even count how many came over from this island to go over there to get it done. 22 million murdered. I read a tabloid, not a tabloid, it was an opinion page of one of these newspapers, and they said, look at Europe today. Peace. These guys are on drugs. Prosperity. Safety. There's not been wars in Europe. We are living together. And I wanted to write, and I think I will write it back. And I says, what about the 22 million slaughtered in a war against somebody who never can fight back? We don't live in a peaceful society. This country has blood on its hands. I'm glad we don't have abortions here, but we're shipping them over. Moms are raising their kids so that they do get pregnant, which they shouldn't be. But they do get pregnant, well, we can get to take them care of. Blood on the hands. Look at our headlines, man. The darkness rules the minds and the hearts of this generation. Just try and talk to them about the Lord. They can't even look at you. Can't even have an intelligent conversation. Darkness. You know what it is? It's just like in the days of Noah and Lot. I don't have time to go there. Luke chapter 17 tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. Where did Lot live, by the way? In Sodom. And the Bible doesn't say that God was upset with Sodom. It says God destroyed Sodom with fire and brimstone. Genesis chapter 6 tells in two different sections, it tells us about the condition of that world. There was great wickedness. Every imagination was only evil continually. The earth was filled with violence. It's the same today. It's the same today. You know what our world needs? If it gets there. Get up there. That's stupid. All right. I'll try. It's worth looking at, so let me fix it. I'll just leave that up there. Work. Our world needs Christians. It doesn't need more of the same. Let me just remove that. That's what I need to do. No animation. There we go. Philippians chapter 2. Go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. And when you found that, also find Matthew chapter 10. Philippians chapter 2. We read it. Let's read it again. And then Matthew chapter 10. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, hiding, right? Blending. Is that what it says? Just blend in. Just get along with it. Love your neighbor, right? What does it say? Among whom ye shine. I got to get there. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And look at verse 10, by the way. 16, sorry, by the way. Holding forth what? What do we hold up high? The word of life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He's referring to the fact that I taught you these things. I hope I didn't waste my time. Go to Matthew chapter 10 now. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, he did not tell them, "Behold, I send you forth as an army. I send you forth as bears, as lions." No, look what he sends them forth as. "I send you forth." I gotta find my verse. "I send you forth as sheep in the midst of." Man, that's pretty dangerous, isn't it? "Be therefore wise as serpents." And what's the key word there? Harmless as doves. You know how smart a snake is, don't you? You ever seen a little kid? I mean, I don't know how they don't get a neck ache. Because everybody and everything is bigger than them. So the kid, but there's something about a snake. A snake is so at the bottom, amen? That snake, if it's not going to get crushed, if it's not going to die, because people step on it, because people don't kill it, it's going to have to be smart about how it moves around, amen? And we need to be smart about how we live in this world. We're not idiots. We're not belligerent. We just don't take on the world. We've got to be wise and yet harmless. So we're not just sitting here going, "Well, you know, I'll just live any way I want." You're going to die. A snake doesn't live any way it wants. It has to know where the enemies are. It has to know how to avoid them. Christians do too. Our world needs Christians. Harmless. No, don't go there again. I'm still on this thing. This world doesn't need more of the same. They don't need more religions. They had plenty of religious people. They don't need more education. They don't need more money. They don't need anything except life. You know what's funny? I came across a group of, we were out, I guess it was about 11:30 on a Saturday morning. And we were on the Model Farm Road and walked up to this nice house, knocked on this door. And then I heard about like 8 groans. And then somebody came to the door. I'm surprised they're able to find the door. Opened the door and they were all college students. And this guy with sort of a glazed look looked at me and said, "What do you want?" I said, "I just want to tell you that judgment's coming. And you need to be born again." And he started to laugh. And he said, "Hey, guys, there's one of those. Come on in." So I and my partner came in there. And I'm looking at it. They were all sprung out. I mean, in the kitchen, in the sitting room. It stank. I mean, these guys, they're all Irish, by the way. They're all just sitting there. It's a Saturday morning, and they're just recovering. And I sat down in that chair, and I said, "I don't know if any of you can hear me, but I'll just be real brief. You guys have nothing to live for. I've got something worth dying for. Jesus Christ died and gave me eternal life, and he died to give you life, and you've never found it. This stuff, all you'll do is you'll go from vomit to vomit. But if you want Jesus Christ, here's a leaflet. One of you need to pick it up and read it." And then I left. But that's how the world needs to see things. They don't need you to see in there coddling them, comforting them, helping them. They need to know wrath is coming. They need to know there's only one way out. They don't need more of the same. They need a Savior. Someone who will step in and actually fix things, amen? Do you know, I believe down this street, down these roads, in these estates, there are people who are crying out waiting for God's word. They go and they hope to meet God's son down at the church, and they never meet him. Another man is coming, though. Another man who will claim to be able to fix all the problems of our world, all of these problems that are exploding in size. There's a man coming. He's called the Beast, the Antichrist, that man of sin. There is a Savior coming, but he's not the right one. Do you know only Jesus is the light of the world? John chapter 8. Take your Bible here in Matthew, go to John chapter 8 and verse 12. John 8, 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Chapter 12, verse 46. Jesus seems to be speaking into a dark place. He says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness anymore." Now, the only way that people are going to hear about Jesus Christ is if Christians show him. You're probably the only Bible anybody will ever read. Romans chapter 10 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know what's wrong with that statement? It's not the end. That's not where it ends. If the world just needs to call on his name and get saved, then the whole world will never get saved. Because how are they going to hear about him whom they've never believed? And how are they going to hear except someone go? And how are they going to go except someone send them? That's Romans 10:14. You see, what God did was he designed it. Oh, here come the prodigal sons. Good morning, brother newcomer. How are they going to hear except someone send them? This world needs you. It's a strange, strange thought. The only way that people are going to hear about Jesus Christ is if Christians show him. You know what the Bible says? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, what? Cannot be hid. We reflect his light. We're supposed to. We live differently than those who live in darkness, as I've always said. Christians are supposed to be little Jesuses in this world. You ever watch whatever Jesus did? You should do. Whatever he did, you should do. He came across people who had questions. You ought to have an answer, just like he did. Amen? He dealt with people's problems, and he gave his best, didn't he? Do you give him leftovers? Do you give just a little bit of attention? Do you even care? But you know, you're not yourself anymore. You ever had somebody say, you're not yourself anymore? You ever heard that? That'd be a great compliment. Amen. You need to live as Christ lived. You need to speak as Christ spoke. You need to love as Christ loved. You need to rebuke as Christ rebuked. You need to serve as Christ served. You need to take persecution as Christ took it. And let me say, there's no neutrality as a Christian. I'm really sick of this idea. Well, I'll just live my life. Don't you dare. The Bible says this. He that is not gathering with me is what? Is scattering. I have to rush. I got things to say here real quick. And the preacher's here, so I better be good. There's no neutrality as a Christian. If you're not working for him, what are you doing? You're scattering. You're destroying the work of God. So every person in this church who's sitting comfortably and just enjoying the Christian life, you're actually ruining our world. I didn't say it. Jesus said, he that is not gathering with me is scattering. Our world desperately needs to be turned upside down again by Christians, as I said. Let me get to my challenge and I'll be through. First of all, we need to stop thinking this world is normal. I mean, my kids have grown up thinking that mobile phones have always been around. My children think the internet has always been there. My children think that cars have always been in existence. Amen? They think shoes have... No, sorry. We live in an age where we gauge history by what we see now. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? And we as Christians, we gauge our world, the temperature of our world, we gauge it by, well, this must be normal. It is not normal. This is not how God designed it to be. Just the fact that people are separated and divorcing and killing each other and can't get along is not normal. God put two people together till death do you part, and preferably not by each other. Isaiah 5 says, woe unto him that says darkness is light and light is darkness, that good is evil and evil is good. I mean, back there's old Michael Jackson. He's never going to get old now. And he's over there saying, it's bad. It's bad. What he meant was, it's good, it's good. I mean, just fulfilling the Bible. Just fulfilling exactly what it said. If it's good, oh, it's bad. People are thinking, they're deceived and they're thinking wealthy people are so happy. They think being a movie star or a music star is a great, great life. Ask Amy Winehouse's dad. She ever have 1 minute of joy in her life? They think that getting is better than giving. That they think that the discos and the pubs and the rock concerts is where the fun is. We need to tell this world it is not normal. You sit there, you're eating at a restaurant there, you know, and you see this person, and he picks up the soup, and he just keeps. shoveling it in, never closing his mouth, you know. And you're looking at that guy, you're just trying not to watch, you know. And as I, and you say, you okay? He said, well, fine. Say, is everything all right? Yeah, it's fine. I said, do you want to close your mouth? Is that what you're supposed to do? That's a stupid illustration, but you know, we people don't know any better. They have no idea. They grew up in the darkness. Amen? They have no idea that you can wait until you're married. Amen? You can even wait till you're married for your first kiss and you'll survive. Amen? My wife and I prove it. Psalm 9:17. Only righteousness exalts a nation. Only righteousness exalts a nation. Go to Psalm 9 and verse 17. Nope, it's not the one I was looking for. That's the opposite. It's the second one. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sinners reproach. Is that Proverbs? Well, the word, the scripture is righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This is the wrong verse. I had another thought. If somebody finds it, let me know. But the only thing that will lift up a nation, will fix a nation, will preserve a nation is one word. What is it? It's on the board. Righteousness. What is it, Proverbs? Thank you. Proverbs 14:34. That verse is for next week, by the way. Psalm 9:17. Proverbs 14:34. Is that what you said? Righteousness. You ought to circle that verse. It'll fix a nation. But sin is a reproach. It'll ruin any people. Amen? Amen. We need to live like light. We need to shine in our dark world. Not hide what Christ put in us. We need to influence our generation for God before this generation is lost. How many generations in Ireland have gone and been born, been raised, and died without any hope? I have read of missionary encounters in Papua New Guinea where a missionary friend of mine was going through into the darkest villages and the darkest areas. I say dark, meaning no gospel ever, no white man ever. He would go in there and a chief would get saved and he would tell the gospel. It would take weeks and months and years even to get their trust and would tell them and show them the gospel plan and the story of Jesus Christ doing what nobody else ever did for them, giving their life. And those people looking at him and then getting saved and then they're just grabbing him by the neck and saying, where were you when my grandfather died? Why are you just now here? What about my mother and my grandfather who never heard? And that missionary is saying, I wish I had gotten here earlier. They've been waiting. They've been desperate. And I'm late. I'm too late for some. Amen. We need to wake up that there is a world that needs what you got. I mean, what are you different? You're not different than anybody. What are you? You're sitting here saved? I mean, we've got so much. What do we do to earn it? We need to influence our generation, this generation before it's lost. There are kids growing up, and I'm working on them. We got the Bible Club starting next week. We got things going on, but this generation is at the edge. How can we influence this generation? How do we do it? Let me just go through some things here. Number one, take your Bible. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And there, a lot of these verses will mix together over the month that we'll see these same things over and over and over. The Bible has to have a place in society, not just in a church. When the world was allowed to put the church, I'm in Titus chapter 2, when the world was allowed to put the Bible into church and lock it up in there and say that's the only place that you can use it, the world's cut off its very hope. We need to take it back out of the church and live it. That's our theme this year, isn't it? We need to influence by a changed life. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. I am commanded here. Look at your Bible. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live how? Their winter drink out the window. righteous and godly. There went pornography. There went your late night TV. In this present world, is the present world easy to live godly in? Oh, it was so much easier back then. It's always been wicked. I believe it's getting wickeder. But it says, in your present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not looking for the world to get better. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Quit living half-heartedly. You ever remember when you were a kid and you went swimming and everybody else would go diving in and you go, I don't blame you, the freezing of water here, man. But people, folks with Christianity, you gotta get in. You can't live half-heartedly. Jesus actually says if you are half-hearted, you're lukewarm, and what does he want to do with us? Throw us up, man. Spit us out. Don't be ashamed of the change that Jesus brought into your life. I got my hair cut from here to there. I thought I was going to freeze. I lived in Texas. I hadn't felt my ears for at least 4 years, maybe five. And when that guy, I sat down there in the chair, and he says, what do you want? I said, I want a haircut. He says, okay. I said, I want it all off. I want to get a good haircut. Make me look like a man. And he smiled. Amen. And I came out of there, but I guarantee you one thing. I was not ashamed. I mean, I looked different. I felt about a half a pound lighter. I no longer had to go like this to make sure my hair wasn't in my eyes. Amen. Amen. Don't be ashamed of the change that Jesus brought into your life. Don't you be ashamed of the fact that you don't curse anymore. Don't be ashamed that you don't know all the movies that are on. Oh, have you seen this? Did you hear that new CD? Nope. You're so square. I don't even know the modern term for it. I only know the 60s term. You're so out of it, man. God not only saved your soul from an eternal devil's hell, he fixed your mind and your heart. Amen. He put a new song in your mouth if you'll just start singing it. He set your feet upon the rock and he established your going. Might as well start walking it. He gave you his Holy Spirit. By the way, he is the Holy Spirit. You should not be the same man or woman you were before, so don't you dare be ashamed of being different. Amen. Secondly, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, our world can be changed if we live changed lives. Secondly, if we live really. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Having your conversation, what's the next word? Wow. You think it's an easy thing? You know, it's getting harder and harder to be real. Would you agree with that? Be it anyway. Having your conversation honest. I keep losing my place. Verse 9. No, I'm not there yet. Verse 12. Thank you. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, they shall glorify God in the day of visitation. Your clean life, your reality as a Christian should have an effect on them that they go, well, praise God. You say it's impossible. Nope. I've seen it work. I know it works. You know how it begins? Stop complaining. Stop giving out about everything that's wrong. You know, just be real. Christians are supposed to be real. Your realness melts hearts. I've gone to people and I'll say, I'm with a church, and they'll go like this. And I'll say, I'm born again Christian, and they'll go, I says, we just want to have this program for kids, and they'll go, oh, okay, you look real. All of a sudden they trust you. And there's something about trust that when people see, okay, you have no hidden agenda, that it melts the hearts. This world ought to know there's a difference with a Christian, that when we say something, we mean it. That when we make a promise, we keep it. Amen. I'm telling the guy who we're trying to buy the building from, I'm telling him, this is all we got. And he comes back and he says, well, can you do this? I said, this is all I've got. Well, can you come this far? this is all I've got. Amen. I'm honest with them. Amen. Let's be honest. Third, praise. 1 Peter chapter 2 now, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's what we are. That openly, publicly, we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, this is what I want to say. Instead of complaining and murmuring, we ought to be a praising people. We ought to be a rejoicing people. Not because God's good to you, just because God's good. Did you get that? Well, God's been so good to me. Talk to Job. Amen. You know, we're all into prosperity. And really, most of us, we only praise God when things are going good. Amen. Shame on us. You know what this world is going through? Hell on earth. And they need to see somebody praise God even though they're going through the furnace of affliction. Amen. They need to see you rejoice and praise and glorify God. Oh, that our homes were places of praise and rest and singing instead of fighting and arguing and quitting. It'll have a great effect on the world around us, and it can change our world. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 now. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. First Corinthians 14:21, Paul talks about the tongues situation and about the effect on the church. It says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Who's this people? Anybody want to take a guess? The Jews. So God had designed tongues not for the Gentiles. Are you dumb Gentiles listening to me? Amen. I say that in love. Tongues are not for us. It was for the Jews. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Talking about the Jews, but prophesying. What's another word for prophesying there? Preaching. They didn't have a New Testament then. Prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together unto one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are what? What's another word for mad? Crazy. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. You know what I get to do? Bill, you know what I get to do? I get to tell on you. I get to expose every one of your secret sins, Brother Dennis, and I don't know one of them. But I open up that book, and every one of them come out there. Amen? Amen. I'm Bill and Geraldine, when they first started to come to church, they thought I was a spider under the table. You still do? All right. Thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest, and so falling down, not because of tongues, but because of preaching. So he will fall down in his face and he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. There is something that happens when people come in and they see you smiling while I'm yelling at you. And they won't think you're crazy. They'll go, he's got something to say. And they like it. Amen. And ultimately, when that person starts to listen, he'll go, it's true. Amen. Don't ever be ashamed of what we do on a Sunday. Drag people to church kicking and screaming. I don't care what you have to do. This is the place where lives can get changed. Amen. This is a hospital. If you come in and you don't get a single blessing, well, praise God anyway. Somebody will. Drag somebody. So I don't get anything out of it, but you will. You're supposed to be a servant anyway. Amen. And you will get a blessing when you serve. Look back in chapter 1 and verse 21. Still in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. They never could figure him out. Oh, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, these guys, Einstein, greatest dummy who's ever lived. By wisdom they knew not God, yet it pleased God by the foolishness of what? To save them that believe. Go back to verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, because it worked, didn't it, Graham? It worked, didn't it? The preaching of the cross always, always works. It hits us. This book still changes lives. Its truth makes sense, and it plows through all the confusion and defeat. Somebody says, I don't agree with the Bible. You may not like what you hear, but you know it's true. Amen. You know it's true. It resonates with the heart. I had Mona's husband, Michael, he's a piano tuner. And he comes up there and he's hitting that note. Bing, bing, bing. He says, that doesn't sound right. I said, it sounds right to me, man. He takes that tuning fork and he goes, bing, bing, bing. Yep, it's off. Amen. Amen. You come into church and say, I think I'm doing fine. And then I come in and I go, bing. You go, ooh, I'm off. And it resonates with our heart, doesn't it? It makes us feel uncomfortable. It makes us go, wow, I got to get right. Amen. Our preaching. Never forget how powerful biblical preaching is on the hearts and the minds of hearers. This is like a court. This is the prosecuting attorney, the defense attorney, the judge, all in one, bringing the case of your life on review. The only thing is, thankfully, it's not, we don't know which life is on review. We're just watching it and we just put our lives right there. We realize, I need to get right. Amen. You know how to change the world? You change the world by... Wait. Stop that. Praying. I double it. Maybe I'm supposed to preach that again. Amen. By our praying. Look at Matthew 21, 21. A great verse. Matthew 21, 21. Matthew 21 and verse 21 says this. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do that, this which is done to the fig tree, he had just spoken of the fig tree shriveled up, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now what is he getting at? Now these are apostles. These apostles had a little more power than I do. But let me say this. Prayer still moves mountains. We need to get back to moving our world through prayer. You're living with an unsaved, ungodly situation in your home. You better quit fighting, arguing, poisoning, stabbing, running off. You know what you need to do? You better pray. Because the revival begins with you. The change begins with the Christian. Judgment begins in us first, doesn't it? So we've got to get back to believing that God still moves mountains, and it begins with us praying. We can complain all day. We need to pray more and more for Endicenny. I just see him as a puppet. I do. And when the EU is through with him, they'll dethrone him and they'll push for somebody else to take his place, and Ireland will go from bad to worse. I pray for Enda to get saved. I pray for Enda to have some backbone to stand up to Europe. And to make some decisions that are biblical, not just convenient. I pray for Endicenny. I pray for the future presidency of Ireland. I know that Gay Byrne wants to be president. I don't want him to be president. I want a godly representative of Ireland. I want a moral man in that office. I just don't want anybody up there. I know it's just a figurehead office, but I believe the offices of this country matter. Amen. And Christians need to realize, you know what, this is not a game. We're talking about the future of this country for our children. We don't want to just have anybody in office. We need to pray for our government. There are too many of us that will complain about them. There are too many of us that will point out all their faults. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for Cork. I pray for this city to be humbled and repent. I pray for this city to know God. That there would be a fear of God in this city of ours. That instead of the Friday nights and the Saturday night brawls and fights and muggings and just the blood that's fills up every Friday and Saturday night here in Cork and fills up our hospitals, that people would be home and there'd be marriages and there'd be relationships and there'd be children who would have daddy home. Amen. We need to pray for Cork. We need to pray for Europe to slow down in its march toward a one world government. It's going to happen. I just want to make it hard and slow going. Amen. We need to believe in prayer. We need to believe that prayer can reach our generation. Prayer still works. You need to pray for your parents to get saved. You say, they won't listen. You're not the one doing the talking. God has a hammer. And boy, does he know how to use it. Amen. Go to Matthew 5 now. Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 16 says this. We can change our world by good works. Matthew 5 verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. What does that mean? Publicly. Don't let anybody be wondering whether you're a Christian or not. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what will they end up doing? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. They may not even agree. They may not say, well, he's not my Father. But you are following the Father. You're following God the Father. You know what Jesus said? Do good to those who hurt you. He says, do good with no thought of repayment. He says, do right when it's unpopular and unprofitable. Did you hear what I said? Do right when it is unpopular and unprofitable. Do good. That changes our world. We need some men and women. We need some businesses. We need some homes that just do right. They just do right. Because that changes the world. You see, I still believe God's way works. Amen. We're not talking about, okay, well, we need to get out, we need to march, and we need to have riots. No, we don't. We need to have homes. We need to have lives that live like this book says. Go to John 13. There's something about what you did when you came in here today that is affecting this little corner of the world. If you stayed home, you hurt your community. I'm not talking about the church. You do hurt the church. When that finger stays in bed and the rest of me gets up, it hurts. Amen. I like that finger. All right? But when it does its own thing and stays in bed while I go to church, it hurts. Okay? And when you stay in bed, it hurts me. And it hurts the other people who are looking to be a blessing. They're looking for you being a blessing. But that's not real. The real danger is. The real danger is, look in John chapter, what did I say? Chapter 13, verse 34. Real damage is done to our world. Over there in England, did you know less than 3% of the population goes to any kind of church on a Sunday morning? 3%. 10% go to the mosque. How'd that start? Start with a few saying, I don't need the Bible, I don't need Christianity, I don't need the church. And they started staying away, and then other people saying, well, they didn't get hurt. Look, they're doing fine. Oh, they're happy. Oh, they're down the beach. And the domino effect happens. Look at John 13, verse 34. A new commandment. Is it a suggestion? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Oh, I love my wife. I haven't seen her in 3 weeks. What? I haven't been home in 3 weeks. Where you been? Oh, I've been busy, having fun, you know, doing my own thing. She understands. And yet that's how you are with God. Amen. You don't think it's important to be here. By this shall all men know, well, let me keep going, that you love one another as I have loved you, which is pretty intense, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. All men? That means those men. That means those people will know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Our love and our assembly together can change the world. You know what this world needs is a lot more churches. And you know I'm determined to start more, amen? Because Ireland, whether it's on the Aran Islands or anywhere on this island or anywhere in Europe, needs more people getting together and living the Christian life as a church, don't we? Amen. Because our love and assembly, the United Nations can't match it. You can take 50 different cultures and put them together and we get along. Amen. Amen. Oh, we have our hiccups, but we learn to love one another. Amen. This is a miracle what you're looking at right here. And the world needs to see it. It changes our world. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Two more thoughts and we're through. I just started on a roll. I just kept writing. Had fun. And you get to endure. Amen. Romans chapter 1 verse 8. Look at this. your hope and your confidence, if you ever got some hope, if you ever got some confidence about your Christianity, look at what it says in verse 8. Paul says to the Christians at Rome, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. The gossip columns were not filled with the wicked lives of these movie stars and these musicians. The gossip columns were filled with, you know, those Christians over there are living by faith. They're going through disasters. They have no money, and yet they're happy, and they're living for God, and they're raising their kids, and they seem to be exploding with joy. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in the newspaper they talked about Christians like they did in the first century? They don't need the entitlements. They're all working. They don't need all the drugs because they're living by the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't need all the counselors. They get preaching. Amen. Amen. What a strange bunch. Amen. Our hope and confidence can change, can affect our world. You go into work like this. Oh, man, what a stink. I hate Monday. Is that how you go to work? You ought to be so on fire. You come back and says, man, couldn't I? You missed a good one yesterday. Amen. That's what you ought to be. Your hope and confidence can make them, they go, what has he got? One last one. Psalm 127. Our families. Psalm 127, right in the middle of your Bible, book of Psalms. Psalm 127, verse 3. How do we influence our generation? Well, you raise a godly family. Don't be afraid to raise them right. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his curse, right? That's what the world tells you. My wife, when she had Ruth, she's not here, so I can talk about her. We had a candy bar in America called a Baby Ruth bar, okay? It's kind of, I don't know what you'd call it. Like, it was all nutty and caramely and everything. But we decided to call her Ruth, so I took these Baby Ruth bars into work, and I handed them out, and I says, we had a baby, my wife had a baby, yay. What'd you name her? I'm handing out the Baby Ruth bars. What'd you name her? Look at the wrapper. But 9 months before, when I went to announce, I said, we're going to have another baby, I had a guy come, actually, it was not a guy, it was a girl, it was a lady, came up to me, and she said, that's called abuse to my wife. You know, there is something about being able to control and the population. I think Ruth's been a blessing, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. I think even Joshua's been a blessing. Children are a heritage of the Lord. You've had a few, haven't you? Amen. Amen. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Talking about a fight. Happy is a man that hath his quiver. A quiver is a sack that you carry all your arrows in. Hath his quiver full of them. They, your children, shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You got somebody who's making life miserable, send your kids on them. Amen. Go throw up on them. Amen, amen. Go give them your nappy. That's right, amen. You know, your kids living for God make such an impact on this world because they've given up. That my kids are devil incarnate, man. My kids just won't listen to me. And they see our kids come in here and love God. And yeah, we got lots of warts, but they're different. And they affect this world like a mighty man pulling an arrow out and the enemy scatters. Don't you forget that raising our kids for God pays off. We've got a lot of work to do. Would you agree? How could a group of uneducated, unorganized, poor Jewish people turn this world upside down in the first century? They did it without anything. They had no money. They had nothing. Is it possible that Christianity could do it again? We must. Our world is a mess. Amen? Our world needs Christians, Bible-believing Christians. We need to influence this generation for God before it is lost. How? By changed lives. By our sincerity, by our realness, by our praise. I'm sick and tired of Christians not knowing how to sing. You're in church long enough. Some of you should. I shouldn't be the only one singing at 150 decibels. Amen. Amen. By our praise, by our preaching and our testimony. You know what it says there in Acts chapter 4? It says, and they went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere. Amen. I used to read about people who used to be drinkers. When they got saved, they went back in the pub. And they stood on the table and they says, all right, this book has given me the water, living life. How many of you want to hear what it says? Go back into the pub preaching. Amen. Preach everywhere. By our praying. How are we going to change this world? We better get back to praying. We better get back to doing good works. We're too quick to revenge. We're too quick to pay back like we've been hurt. By our love and assembly. This church, we may be nothing compared to the, you know, the oxygen concerts and the downtown court crowds going shopping. But we have an impact. We freak people out. Amen. By our hope and our confidence. And just by our families. Folks, we have a lot of work to do. We don't need to be just Christians. I know most every person in this room, you're a born-again Christian, praise God, but don't be just a Christian. Be the kind of Christian that our world needs. Folks, according to the Bible, our world is still seeking for what we have. It starts with being a real Christian. John 3:3 says, except a man be born again. That's the only kind of Christian there is. A born again Christian. Except a man be born again, he's not even going to get to see the kingdom of God. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope I touched on a bunch of things that were at risk in your life. That were kind of like, oh, I don't know this. Or, I don't know. I hope you got motivated this morning. I hope that you realize we've got a lot of work to do. Not just the pastor, not just Brother Dan, but all of us. We've got work to do. You see, there's no work in salvation, is there? Jesus did it all. But since we got saved, there's some work to do, isn't there? Our world doesn't need us hiding anymore. The more we hide, the more sin comes out, doesn't it? Turn the light off and the bugs come out. Let's turn the light back on. Guess what? The light's not a church, not a building. The light's not a government. The light's not an education. The light's not a bank. The light is a person living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and shining it anyway. Shining anyway. Maybe you need to look at the way you walk and you talk. Maybe look at the way you dress and see, am I shining or am I attracting darkness? Maybe you need to look at the way you think and realize maybe I'm attracting problems. I need to start thinking with the new mind of Christ. I need to get my life in that book so that my mind thinks right and my life lives right. Father, please bless this message to every person in this room. Everyone who thinks they're a Christian, let them be put to the test. That this would be something they want to do. Something they yearn to do. That they'd realize and look around in this world and see it's going to hell. We weren't saved just to sit here and wait for our trip home. We're saved to change our world. To turn our world upside down. We do it without guns and bombs and without swords. And we don't take over. We serve. We love. We give. We hurt. But we do for Jesus. And as we live this different life, it's like light. And the world is starving for it. I know I was. I didn't even realize. I didn't know where to go looking. I'd only known darkness all my life. But boy, when I heard preaching, wow, when somebody opened the Bible to me, I couldn't get away from it. Lord, let us be a light. Let our light so shine. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your hymnal. Hymn number 381, 381. Are you saved? 381. Well, if you are, then you ought to live it. If you're not, let me tell you, you'll never live it. It all begins with Jesus Christ coming into your heart and saving a wretch like you. Saving a wretch a miserable sinner like you and given you the gift. He gives it to you, the gift of eternal life. 381. Christian, don't you wish somebody gets saved? Don't you wish that somebody humble themselves? You know what it'll take? Probably you humbling yourself first.